thank the Lord for this meeting and giving us the opportunity to do this again.
Yes.
Need the Lord's help this morning. Yes. Make His word alive and real to each one of us. Lord, ask for your prayers.
Amen.
I'd like to begin in the 19th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 19, beginning with the 7th verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Folks, the way of the Lord is right.
Amen.
The way of the Lord is a good way.
That's so.
And I want to say, I recommend Him to you this morning.
Yes.
The way of the Lord, the law of the Lord, it's just right.
Right, brother.
It is the best way to go.
Yes.
You know, apart from what happens after I draw my last breath.
That's so.
And we heard yesterday about what happens. That time is coming for every one of us.
That's right.
But even that aside, you know, I am convinced that the Lord's way is the best way.
It's the only way.
You can find no better way to live life than the way of the Lord.
That's so.
And the psalmist here got a picture of the ways of the Lord, the testimonies, the statutes, the law of the Lord. That it wasn't something that to him seemed like bondage. That to him was just about religious duties that were imposed on him. But he said the law of the Lord is perfect. And it accomplishes something in my soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. And it'll do something for the simple.
Yes.
Who is the simple? The scripture says that the wise or the prudent foreseeth the evil. They make preparation for that. But the simple man passes right on. Ignores the warning signs. Doesn't realize what's right ahead. Going pell-mell for the bridge that's out. Right past the sign that says, bridge closed ahead. And he just keeps right on going. You know the Lord has a solution for us.
Yes, He does.
My burden this morning is about having a love for the truth.
A love for the truth. All right.
More to be desired.
Yes.
How much do you desire truth this morning?
Wow.
Is truth your friend or your enemy? How do you look at truth today? The world seems to look at truth as being entirely subjective. Whatever you want to make it to be, that's truth, they say. They'll claim that's my truth. And you don't have any right to question my truth. But I'm thankful there is one true way this morning.
One true way.
The way, the truth, and the life. This law of the Lord will endure forever.
Yes.
Scripture says in 1 John that God is light.
Yes.
And in Him is what?
No darkness.
No darkness at all. The Lord is light.
Yes.
I'm thankful this morning for light. And the scripture likens truth unto light. You know, the only difference between that darkest night, and what a difference it makes, even in your perspective, the outlook, doesn't the world just look so much different, the dawning of a new day? The only difference is light. The entrance of light. Psalms 119th chapter says this of the law of the Lord, 119 and 130. Start with 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful.
All right. That's testimony.
Therefore doth my soul keep them.
All right.
Why are you going to live for the Lord? You ever have people ask you, does your church make you do that? Does your church say you have to dress that way? Let me tell you why I do what I do. Because, Lord, thy testimonies are wonderful.
Yes, they are.
Lord, your ways are beautiful.
Amen.
Therefore doth my soul keep them.
Yes.
It's not because there's a bondage. But Sister Mary, what do we find? Glorious
freedom.
Yes, I don't find in the way of the Lord bondage to my soul. But I find rather a glorious freedom. That's why my soul keeps the law of the Lord. The entrance of thy words giveth light.
Yes.
You know, we can, when it comes to spiritual light, we can be walking outside on a day like this.
Yes.
The sun brilliant, and there be utter darkness in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
We can be in a camp meeting like this.
Yes.
Darkness in my soul. The way of the wicked
is
as darkness.
Yes.
That's what sin brings. That's what the ways of the world result in, is darkness in my soul.
Yes.
When there is darkness, I can't... This is obvious, right?
Yes.
I can't see.
That's right.
I can't see what's right in front of me. I don't know what's all around me. I don't know what I'm about to come upon or what's about to happen. It's darkness all around spiritually.
Yes.
Darkness is the worst place to be. To not be able to know what it is that I'm stumbling over.
Yes.
To not be able to understand things of truth.
Yes.
But the entrance of the word of the Lord.
Yes.
The entrance of His truths.
Yes.
It brings light.
Yes. It does.
Do we love it this morning? Do we want it? Do we want the Lord's words to enter down deep into our hearts? It'll bring light and give understanding to us. The 97th verse of the same chapter. You just read the whole chapter when you get time and see what the psalmist thought of the law of the Lord. He said here in 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Have you ever pulled up the Kentucky Code of Regulations? And read through that, the Ohio or the Kentucky state laws. You ever done that and just read cover to cover? And say, oh, I love this law. I love the laws that are in here. I love the laws that say I can. And you feel that way about the law? How about the IRS? You say, oh, I love the IRS. I love the laws that dictate how much I pay in taxes. I love it. Wish I could get more.
Yes.
The law of the Lord is different, isn't it?
Yes,
it's different than the laws of man. And the psalmist said, Lord, I love thy laws. I've seen how it brings light in my heart where there was darkness before. I've seen where it's converted me from darkness to light. I saw where it converted me from wickedness to righteousness.
Yes.
I've seen the result of your word coming in and working in my heart and life. And Lord, I love what it does to me. I love what your law works in my life. I love it. Therefore, oh, I got to read the Bible every day.
Yes.
Fall in love with the Lord.
Yes.
Love the law of the Lord. And it'll be what you want to think upon. You know, not all men love what is so lovely. Not all men and women see the beauty of what is so beautiful. Proverbs, the first chapter. I believe we read one of these verses the other night. Proverbs 1 and 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction."
Mm-hmm.
It's not their friend.
Mm-hmm.
they think. It is to them their enemy. It hurts. It stings. It casts me in a light that I don't like to see myself. And so that is the culprit. That's my enemy. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. 29th verse says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof." You ever hear the saying, ignorance is bliss? I'd like to just remain ignorant, they might say, about certain things, or maybe about the law. I'd like to just plead ignorance. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it. Someone say, maybe I'd rather ask forgiveness than permission. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you say about that. I don't want to know what the truth is on this. The 9th chapter of Proverbs says in the 7th verse, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." What a difference.
Amen.
To the scorner, if you rebuke him, reprove him, he'll hate you.
Yes.
But a wise man, if you do the same thing, will love you.
Yes.
And when you give instruction to a wise man, he doesn't become bitter.
Right.
He doesn't become your enemy. He increases in wisdom and in learning and understanding. I pray this morning that we'd be able to search ourselves and say, which category do I fall in? What kind of love do I have for truth this morning? I'm not talking about my opinion of myself. I want to know the truth. The truth about where I am. I want to look at 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. First Kings 22, the 7th verse. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" Now Ahab here had his mind made up that he wanted to go up against, I believe it was Ramoth-Gilead. So he asked, Jehoshaphat said, "Will you go with me? Can we be confederate in this?" And the Jehoshaphat asked and said, "Is there not a prophet?" Let's get the mind of the Lord on this. What does the Lord want us to do? There were already 400 men and prophets, so-called, that told them all with one voice, "Oh yes, king, go up." Now you think these wise men knew the king? They were his wise men or prophets. They knew Ahab. They knew what Ahab wanted to hear. So they all went in and they told Ahab exactly what he wanted to hear. They all said the same thing. Jehoshaphat, it would seem, realized and detected something doesn't ring true here. "Is there not a prophet, a man of God besides these?"
Yes.
And he said, "Well, there's one other man." Well, what did he say about him? "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him." Why? What did he do to you? "For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Now, can you imagine this? He doesn't tell me what I want to hear. Yeah. It wasn't about here. Well, he always lies to me. He never tells me the truth. That wasn't what his criteria was. He never gives me what I want to hear. You know, the scripture says that in these dangerous days in which we live today, that men will not endure sound doctrine. But they will, after their own lust, their own desires, what I want to believe, the way that I want to live, they'll go and seek out teachers that'll tell them what they want to believe, what they want to hear. And it'll have such and such Christian church over the door. And the pastor will say, "Oh, honey, you're just fine. You're just all right. We all sin more or less every day. What are we interested in this morning? Do I want someone to pat me on the back? Do I want to tell the preacher, 'Tone it down now, preacher. You're stepping on my toes.' Well, get your steel toes on and let's go." Folks, the Lord is interested in us hearing truth.
Yes.
"Ye shall know the truth.
Amen.
And the truth shall make you free."
Yes,
do we want that glorious freedom this morning?
Amen.
It'll come not through religion. It'll come through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
Lord, I want the truth.
Yes.
I want to know if I'm not where I need to be.
So.
Lord, if the way I'm living is not right, I want to know that.
Yes, that's right.
I want to know it now.
Yes.
The time is coming that we'll all know it.
That's right.
But Lord, I want to know it now.
Amen.
What is the truth concerning this?
The truth.
Do you like what you see in the mirror? Well, you don't have to answer that. What are you going to do about it? Some of us can't do much about it. Can't do much about putting more hair up here on top. You know, there's one thing I can do something about. You get a mirror that curves the right way.
Uh-huh.
And it'll make me look like I want to think I look. Is it the truth? Not hardly. You can look at me without the mirror and know that. You know how many people, though, seek out a church, a pastor, friends that'll tell them only what they want to believe? "Oh, no, you're the one in the right. Bless your heart. No, you're just fine." We have a world that just stokes that and feeds it. "You're right to stand up for your rights. You're right to leave your wife or your husband. You're right to do that." Let's not look at the opinion polls. Let's look at the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's look at His truth. Lord, shine Your light. Lord, send Your light into my heart. Help me to see it if I don't like what I see in the mirror. Lord, by Your grace and by Your help, I'm going to do something about it. And that's the blessed hope of the gospel, is that we can do something about what we see in the mirror.
Amen.
It's why the Lord puts a mirror in front of us.
Yes.
It's not to condemn us,
right,
but it is to save us.
Amen.
And the only way that I can be saved from sin, from myself,
yes,
is to be able to look into that mirror and realize, whoa, this is who I am.
Right.
And the Lord then offers hope and help and says, "I'll change who you are."
Yes.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Let me convert that in you. Let me change it from what it is to what I want it to be in your life. Let's not throw the mirror on the floor and break it. Let's not blame the mirror. Let's say, "Lord, help me. Lord, I want to take care of what's in my life." Think about a time at King David, the highest one in the kingdom, right? That's what a king is. King David's walking along with his men, and here comes a man that's cursing him. David's men said, "Let us go. Just give us permission. We'll go strike that man down. He can't speak to the king of Israel that way." And David said, no, don't touch him. It may be that the Lord was having him say that to me. I want us to think about that kind of heart. Even those that would speak evil against us. Lord, help me. Lord, is there some truth in this? And I come and I bring it before the Lord. I'm thankful that we don't have to live for the opinions of people.
That's so.
But I want to have a heart that says, Lord,
yes.
I want truth from whatever corner it comes, from whatever place. Lord, if it is true, it might hurt, but I want it. Lord, help me to love it. Help me to have a love for the truth, not to be as Ahab here. Well, I didn't call that man because, you see, he already knew. Deep down inside, Ahab already knew. I know what he's going to say. I know he's not going to want me to go. That's not what I want to hear. So let me go get all the prophets that will tell me what I do want to hear. You know, he lost his life as a result of it. And folks, we'll lose our souls as a result of resisting the truth. As a result of turning our back on light and understanding and closing our ears to truth. John, the third chapter. I'd like to consider what I think of as a phenomenon. You know what a phenomenon is? It seems to defy explanation. How does that happen? How does that work? John, the third chapter, the 19th verse. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Thank the Lord. There was, the prophet said, gross darkness on the hearts of people. But the day spring arose. Jesus Christ came to be the light of the world, to bring light where there was so much spiritual confusion and darkness and wickedness all over the face of the earth, where good was called evil and evil was called good. Sounds kind of like our day. Jesus came to be a light. Light came into the world, but here's the phenomenon. And men loved darkness rather than light. I don't want light. I don't want it. I'd rather live in darkness. Remember a time we lived in a mobile home for a while. We were renting. When we moved into it, they had to do some work on the floor. And I happened to be in there when they pulled back the carpet. And I saw the floor under it moving. Or so it looked. Out came cockroaches. And they just scurried all over the floor and up the walls and dispersed. We'd come home after dark and flip on the light switch in the kitchen where the door came in. And cockroaches everywhere just scattered. Well, why did they scatter? They didn't like the light. They wanted to scurry into their corners of darkness. To tell you, I am no friend of cockroaches. And that didn't help. But, you know, I don't want to be that way. When the light comes on, I'm out of here. Whenever the light starts shining, when the word is preached, well, I don't mind the word preached as long as it's blessing and hope. And I've gone to India and I've had people really come against me at times and in places where they said, we wanted you to prophesy blessing to us. We wanted you to speak blessing over us. I'm going to tell you where the blessing is. The blessing is in the way of the Lord. The blessing is when I come and I yield myself to the Lord. His way is blessing. And it'll follow you all the days of your life. Let me tell you about the way of blessing. But first, you're going to have to get out of the way of cursing.
Yes, so.
First, you're going to have to get out of the ways of darkness.
Yes.
And if you don't want to hear that, And folks, I'm not talking about the spirit that you hear in the world. Well, it's true and I'm going to say it and I don't care what you think. Well, folks, I'm talking about, what does the scripture say? Speak the truth in love. And isn't that what the Lord does? But it is important for us to realize I've got to have truth. My soul depends on it. You know, just like those cockroaches, we can find security and comfort in the darkness of what is familiar to me. I'm comfortable here. Don't ruffle my nest. I'm right where I want to be. I'm comfortable right here. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know what you have to say. Don't shine your light over here. Just leave me alone. Men love darkness rather than light. And the scripture explains the phenomenon. Because their deeds were evil.
That's right.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Whenever I choose to walk in darkness, I don't like the light, I don't want the light. Jesus said, hates the light. I was speaking to a lady at work here just recently. It was a day that they announced a new pope. Well, she was talking about that. Clint, did you see the news? Got a new pope. I said, well, really? I hadn't heard that yet. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Well, honestly, it doesn't do anything for me, but I know it's important to a lot of people. Uh-huh. Well, she went on talking about it and said, well, it's not really important to me either. I'm an atheist. Oops. And another lady on the call in the meeting with us and kind of stopped and questioned that. Well, why are you an atheist? And she kind of stopped. Said, you know, I don't really know. My family was never really religious. We never really went to church. Was never really our thing. And I don't know. I guess I just assume I'm an atheist. The other girl said to her, well, that doesn't mean you can't inquire now. Well, yeah, I guess so, but I don't know. And she had a few different things that she wasn't real impressed with religion in general. But as I listened to that conversation and talked with her some, realized that she was very content where she's at. It's what I've always known. It's the way my parents were. The way my family was. Everybody that I'm around, they're that way. I'm comfortable. I don't really have any driving desire or even curiosity to know anything besides this. Spoke to her a little bit of the importance of truth. There is truth and error.
Yeah.
And we can know what that is.
Amen.
You know, we have to have a love for the truth, though.
That's right.
We're going to have a desire for it, to seek after it,
yeah,
to inquire.
Yeah.
Is what I believe right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true? Oh, the Lord wants to lead us into the light. Thank the Lord that He is the light.
Yes, He is.
Scripture says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not. Why? Lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. It's why the enemy blinds their minds. And he'll tell people that living for the Lord is hard. Living for the Lord, you'll never be able to have fun. You can't do this and you can't do that. And you've got to do this and the other, and it's not the life for you. Blinding the minds and hearts of those that believe not. You know, the glorious light of the gospel is shining. And if we will seek after it, If we'll open our hearts and our minds to the Lord, Lord, show me your truth. Lord, help me to see. I've got ideas. I've got beliefs that I've formed in my mind. But Lord, if those aren't right, bring them down. And Lord, show me the truth. The Lord's word will sweep away the refuge of lies. The place that people again find security in. This is what I want to believe about myself. The judgment of the Lord will sweep that away one day. But if we'll allow it today, the truth of God's word will expose to us what's right. Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Today, what are you in the market for? You shopping for truth? Or are you shopping for error? Or are you shopping for whatever feels good and whichever aisle I find it on? Truth or error, I'll buy it. Looking at that big old ice maker over there in the dining hall. Boy, it'd be nice to have one of these. Might not need it that big. But I thought, you know, places like Europe where I've been, you wouldn't be able to sell that thing for nothing. They don't use ice. Hardly at all. There wouldn't be any market for it. Okay. You know, I fear there's not much market for the truth. Now, I don't want us to become discouraged and say, well, it just nobody wants to hear it. Folks, everybody needs the truth.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, there is a narrow and straight way.
Wait, that's so.
Few there will be that find it. Many there will be that don't ever receive a love of the truth. And to them, as we heard last night, they'll stumble over the word. They'll be offended by this or that or the other. I can't believe that. That offends my sensibilities. I don't want to hear that kind of thing. You know, the Lord has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
That's right.
But if we'll receive a love of the truth, folks, it'll set us free. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a terrible outcome. I don't ever want that to be my outcome. And it all hinges from this, it says, because they didn't receive a love for the truth. Lord, help that not to be my category. To not receive a love for the truth. And you know where that love for the truth begins? It begins with a love for the truth about who I am. It might hurt. I might look at that and hang my head in shame. But by the Lord's help, I'm not going to go my way and forget what manner of man I was and try to convince myself I'm something other than what I just saw in the mirror. I want to receive a love for it, to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing me who I am. Thank you for helping me to see this about myself. Lord, by your grace and help, I'm going to accept that truth.
Amen.
And do something about it.
Yes.
We remember, no doubt, this story, the fable of the emperor and his new clothes. Some swindlers that came in, it's been a while since I've read it, so try to recall it. Some swindlers that came in to the proud and haughty king and said, we're here to make you some of the finest clothes that can be purchased with money. Well, that got his attention. I want that. And they came in, they said, now there's something about these clothes that only the most wise will be able to see the clothing. So they start in and they're making it. And looks like they're measuring out the material and all of that. And the king looks at it. I can't see it. But he said only the wise will be able to see it. I can't admit to him then that I can't see anything. I've got to play along and act like I can see it because everybody else. And so, of course, all the other people coming in looking at it, well, I can't see anything, but I sure don't want to admit that I'm not wise. Oh, it's beautiful. I love it. And finally the day comes, we'll try it on. The king tries it on and all his counselors, oh, it's magnificent. He's looking down and can't see a thing.
Right.
But he wanted to believe it.
Yes.
Goes out in the parade to show off his new clothes. About to give the swindlers time to get out of town. And a little boy didn't know better. So the emperor doesn't have any clothes on.
Oops.
From the mouth of babes and sucklings.
Yes.
Lord, help us not to be like the emperor. I've got an idea created about who I am. And you know social media can really feed that.
Right.
Where I can create a certain image of who I am. I can post certain pictures and I can filter out certain things that I don't want to be represented about myself to everyone else in the front that I put up before them.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, the Lord sees right through it all.
Yes, he does.
And he sees the true man. He knows what's going on inside.
That's right.
And I want you to know this morning, you don't have to go around in the shame of rags.
That's right.
The Lord has robes of righteousness.
Amen.
For every one of us.
Yes.
That I can come to a place that I say, Lord, I see who I am and it's terrible. Lord, it's ugly. Oh, how many people today say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I live a good life. I'm going to tell you, if we could really see ourselves in the light of God's righteousness, that would fall away so quickly to realize I fall so short of what God wants for my life. You know what brings that awareness? A writer said, Paul said that when the law revived, the law came, sin revived, and I died. It brought an awakening. It brought understanding to me that I'm falling short of this. I can't get there. I'm, oh, wretched man that I am. But that wasn't the end of the story. Grace and life came through Jesus Christ. And he was able to be a new creation in Christ. But it first comes with the entrance of light.
Yes.
When I come to a place that I am willing to see myself for who I really am, willing to acknowledge I fall short, willing to acknowledge where I am. You know, it's where repentance really comes from.
That's where it comes from.
When I really get to the place that all excuses fall away, all justification of myself and of who I am. And oh, we can build them up and erect them in our minds. Well, this is why I respond this way. This is why I am. It's because of this and this and this. When all that falls away, and I say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this bondage of death? The Lord says, oh, I've been waiting for that. I've been waiting to hear you come to that place. I've got light and righteousness and life and hope to offer you. Now you can leave those rags of shame behind.
Amen.
And be clothed in robes of righteousness. You don't have to hang your head anymore and try to hide in the shadows in case it exposes me. I don't have to go through life looking over my shoulder to see if somebody saw me, because I don't want them to know the way that I'm really living. The Lord has something better for me than that.
Amen.
That I can lift my head, not in pride and arrogance, but with a clear assurance in my soul. That all is clear. Lord, shine your light. Lord, send your message on any line. And Lord, if I'm not there by your grace, I'm going to get there.
Glory.
That is the heart of a child of God that says, Lord, I want to know I'm not out church shopping. I'm not out looking for something that feels good on me. I'm looking for truth. I'm looking for, Lord, I want to walk in the light of your word. Lord, help me to measure myself to it. Not to cut and edit and try to fit the word of God around me. But I have to say, Lord, I want to do some cutting on me to fit myself to the word of God.
Amen.
And receive a love for the truth. This morning, again, I ask, where are we? What side of the category do we fit on? Does truth to us seem a friend or an enemy? Do we have a love for the truth? Or something that causes us to kind of recoil? When there's an opportunity to hear the Word of God, is there something that draws me that says, Lord, I want to learn more about you and more about myself? Or is there something that says, like Ahab, they never say anything that makes me feel good about myself. I don't want to go there. Lord, I must have. I am desperate for your truth. When we believe that Solomon, I believe, wrote, if you seek after her, wisdom, understanding, if you seek after her as gold and silver and treasures and pearls, if you put the kind of intensity and desire in that, that people are putting and pursuing the things of this world, you'll find it. Because it's there for you.
Amen.
It's available unto us.
Yes.
We can know and walk in today the light of the Word of God in its truth.
Yes.
That'll shine on my pathway right on into glory. And so there will be no surprises in that day. I've had the occasion, the need to work with people who worked for me and give them feedback on how they're doing and advice on how they can improve and grow and get better. And had one individual, well, the process was you rate yourself. How good did I do this last year?
Okay.
And there's a scale that you rate yourself. And then your manager comes along and rates you behind you. And you better hope that it lines up.
Right.
Well, I had one employee that was my most difficult employee. That accomplished about less than anybody else. And it came time for this employee's review. I pulled up the review they had written of themselves, and I thought, who is this person? I want to hire him. But I could see the name.
You see the name, couldn't you, brother?
It doesn't line up. This isn't the person that I've worked with all year. But they wrote, and I don't know, maybe AI did it, wrote such a glowing review of themselves. And all that I accomplished, and what a wonderful worker and employee I am, and rated themselves top-notch in the rating system across the board. You know, that was a difficult conversation. I had to bring that individual into the office and say, we need to talk. Because unfortunately, I've got to rate you down here. And you rated yourself up here. Let's talk through the things that I've observed throughout this year. You remember when I talked to you back here? You remember when we had a conversation here and I told you, you need to work on this, and you didn't do anything about it? It's the end of the year now, and you haven't done anything about it. You know, from what I could tell, that individual never did accept what I had to say. Never did believe that they were less than top notch. Everything had an excuse around it and a justification around it. And I just had to let them go this last week. Folks, this is more serious than a job that we're talking about this morning.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about life.
Amen. Oh, yes.
And the fact that at the end of it, I'm going to stand before my Maker. And give an account of the deeds done in the body, as we heard yesterday. Whether they be good or whether they do evil, there will be no excuses. There will be no veil that I can pull over. I won't be able to come in and say, well, here's why I did what I did, and here's none of that. I will be as the man who was found without the wedding garment.
That's right.
Speechless.
Speechless. That's right.
There's nothing to say. It's all exposed. It's naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. When He sees it all and He says, I never knew you. I tried dealing with you back here about that. I sent a message in this camp meeting for you. I tried sending something in your life to show you you're on the wrong path. But you wouldn't listen to it. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't accept it. You had the opportunity. But now it's too late. The year is gone. Folks, I don't know when your year is going to be over or mine. But at the end of it, there's no going back. There's no wishing that I was something that I'm not. Folks, today, think about the church of Laodicea. Says that you say, well, let's just close with that scripture, third chapter of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, verse 14, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. So realize where we're starting from here. This isn't your opinion against my opinion. Not your perception versus reality. This is the faithful and true witness. He's right. He gets it right every time. He sees it entirely. There's no hiding anything from Him. He said in verse 17, because thou sayest, now here's your review you wrote about yourself. Because you say that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Don't need a thing that you have to say. I'm right where I want to be. And you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The faithful and true witness says, you say this about yourself, but I'm going to tell you what the truth is. You're naked. You're poor. You're blind. You're destitute. Oh, but notice what he says. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou... that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know when the Lord sends His word? Oh, it cuts. It cuts to the dividing of the joints and the marrow of our lives. It cuts right down to the core of who we are. You know, right along with that, He cuts and He binds up. He cuts out what is broken and what defiles, and He cuts out the cancer of our life and our heart. Yes. And then He binds back up. Uh-huh. And He anoints it. Yes. And healing begins. Amen. And we are whole.
Amen.
And so He exposed to them.
Yeah.
This is what you are. Probably not a happy day. A happy moment. When you come face to face with the truth about yourself. But He said, I counsel you. Here's what I want you to do with this.
All right.
It hurt. But I counsel you to take the solution I'm offering you.
Yes.
I've got an answer for you. You don't have to continue to live in self-deception. You remember Herod? You talk about having a love for the truth. He was married to Herodias. And John the Baptist told him that it's not lawful for you to have this woman. Right. It's not lawful. Because of that, he was in prison. And they were waiting for the opportunity to execute him. And indeed, that day came. Because men love darkness rather than light.
Yes.
And you know, today, people will still, far too often, run from truth.
Yes.
Don't tell me I can't have this man. Don't tell me that I can't divorce and marry again. I don't want to hear it. I've got plenty of other people telling me that I can do it. Oh, I don't want to hear that that's not accepted. And as Jesus said, men hated light.
Yes,
but it is the light that'll save our souls.
Amen. Amen. Yes, brothers.
John lost his head because of it.
Yes, he did.
But oh, he had eternal life. Thank the Lord. Tonight, the Lord, today the Lord counsels us. Yes. As many as I love, I rebuke. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then he said this beautiful scripture, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me." Oh, the truth may sting for a bit. It's going to cut across sin and unrighteousness. But I'm standing knocking at your heart's door. Will you open it up? Will you let me come in and sup with you? Will you let me come in and we deal in truth and in righteousness? The Lord's not going to come. There is no darkness in Him whatsoever. He can't deal in darkness. He deals in light and truth and righteousness. And if I'm willing to open my heart's door and say, "Lord, come in." Song says there was a room in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there I didn't want anybody to know.
All right.
But the day came that he came to that door.
Yes.
And he said, "Open the door.
Uh-huh.
I want to go in." With tears of shame coming down my face, uh-huh, I opened the door and I let him in. But he said, "Today, when he came into that room, I don't have any shame anymore. I have nothing to hide anymore." He came into that room and he cleansed it and he took out the shameful things.
Yes.
Today it's what he wants to do with every one of us. Today if we need to be set on a new path, the Lord's able to do that.
Yes.
He wants to show us.
Yes.
Don't run from truth.
That's right.
Don't go your way with the determination to abide in your spiritual darkness if it exists. To try to convince ourselves of that which I want to believe, whether it's truth or not. Pray for me.